Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Confession. I am a bread nerd. Between college and grad school, I worked as a baker with a collective of farmers growing culturally significant wheat in Central California. We thought together about how church-owned lands could be sites for food sovereignty by partnering with indigenous growers and seed keepers to preserve these wheat varieties in an economic system designed to eradicate them. My passion for bread and my call to the priesthood therefore co-evolved. So it makes sense to me that Jesus would reveal something significant about himself by blessing and breaking bread on the land, by the water, among friends. I love barley bread, but if you have ever eaten it or made it, you will know a barley loaf is not something you would present proudly at a dinner party. Bread made with barley alone, a grain high in fiber and protein and very low in gluten, can be dense and sticky, sometimes requiring that you actually press it together with your hands in order for it to keep its form. Barley bread is what you eat when you are hungry in the middle of the night, when you are sad and need a snack. It is what you make for a friend when they are sick or lonely. It is what you pull together when your pantry is bare. In the winter, in times of war, in times of pandemic, when you cannot access essential goods like flour and sugar from the store. You break and share a barley loaf in the hard times, in the thin times when you are worn and at the rough edges of your hunger. Barley bread is what you feast on when there is nothing left and nothing else. With the exception of the Passion account, the miracle of the barley loaves is the only story common to all four Gospels. From its sheer repetition, we can deduce that something significant is being revealed through this story. What does the repetition of the breaking of the bread and the sharing it among friends reveal about who Jesus is and what it might mean to follow him? Before we really can engage this question, it might help to note a few contextual signposts. First, the text tells us that the miracle of the barley loaves occurs near Passover. This detail is actually unique to John's gospel. Passover, as we remember, commemorates God liberating the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and their exodus to freedom. It also recalls the passing over of the angel of death who spared the Israelites' firstborn during the 10th plague. So in the Passover, God's people remember that God has saved them from the forces of death. The barley bread of this miracle carries these memories of affliction and liberation. Reflecting on this week's gospel lesson in his Substack, the Reverend Dean McGowan expressed, quote, "In the loaves, there is a parallel with the gift of manna to the Israelites during the Exodus from Egypt. Not only can Jesus feed the hungry, but the sign reflects God's care for the poor in their need and for a people seeking freedom from oppression," end quote. As Reverend McGowan notes, the sign of multiplying bread for the hungry is meant to evoke a memory of God providing in scarcity through gift. Like the manna, this barley bread is not only the bread of life, but the bread of liberation from all forces seeking death. Second, it's helpful to note that the reference to the barley is a nod to 2 Kings chapter 4. In this reading, a man from Baal-Shisha, like the boy in today's gospel, comes to a man of God, Elisha in this case, with 20 loaves of barley bread, which miraculously feeds 100 people gathered. In this story, the servant asks, "How am I to set 20 loaves before 100 men?" To this, Elisha replies, "They will eat and have some left over." So we hear the parallels. Today's lesson, again, the barley bread is broken. People eat and are satisfied, and there is some left over. So throughout Scripture, the image of the kingdom as bread that is broken and multiplied among friends is told repeatedly. So this act must represent something essential about who God is. Of course, in celebrating the Eucharist, we remember through bread the reality of Christ's body as the bread of life broken for the love of the world. So what is God speaking to us through the breaking of these barley loaves? John's accounts of Christ uniquely emphasize Jesus' identity and invite witnesses of these accounts, which is us, to contemplate who Jesus is, what the kingdom costs, and to whom it belongs. Some scholars like to suggest that the miracle of the barley loaves broken eucharistically is a sign of Christ as prophet king. Now, we get the idea of the threefold office of Christ as prophet, priest, king from theologian John Calvin, who introduced it at the Geneva Catechism in 1545. If we read John's account of this barley bread miracle within this threefold office of Christ, we see how John is drawing our attention to the layers of Jesus, the prophetic, the priestly, the kingly, and how they interact to transform the cultural and religious and economic systems around him. Theologian Marco Hofheinz takes this idea deeper by suggesting friendship should be the relational interpretive lens through which we understand Jesus' threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. In short, he expands upon the scholarship of Jürgen Moltmann, another theologian, to contend that Jesus performs each of these offices first and foremost as friend. This gospel narrative therefore reveals something about how Jesus carries out his ministry of prophet, priest, and king as a friend. The Johannine account is one of the places in Scripture where Jesus' office as friend, or threefold office carried out as friend, is most evident. John foregrounds Christ as a friend through table vignettes, like the one that we encounter today. These vignettes remember the Passover and anticipate the Last Supper. In breaking bread, Jesus acts as a friend to the poor, to the sinners, to the hungry, to the outcasts. Eating with them and blessing the fruits of their labor and the fruits of the land to which they tend is one of the primary ways he testifies to them, "I am your friend." He doesn't purchase food for the meal, and in so doing, participate in an extractive economy. Instead, he blesses the food they already have. He collects it into his hands to be broken and shared and enjoyed like a family meal. So what kind of prophet is Jesus in this radical act of food ministry? Well, John Calvin actually posed a very similar question at the Geneva Catechism. He inquired, "In what sense do you call Christ a prophet?" And the people, of course, do call Christ a prophet as they witness the sign of this humble meal. Verse 14 of our reading notes, quote, "When the people saw the sign of what he had done, they began to say, 'This is indeed a prophet who has come into the world.'" So again, we ask, what kind of prophet? This query remains suspended until Jesus answers it later in the Passion narrative. When confessing his kingship to Pilate, he says, quote, "You say that I am king. For this end I was born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth." There it is. Jesus has come to bear the truth as our friend through the breaking of the bread. Today's gospel narrative shows us that we understand something crucial about who Jesus is when we sit at his table to serve and to be fed. When we eat and we feed, we know God as friend. Friends are distinct from others or strangers because friends are loved and fed by God, and friends love and feed each other. We know this well in our church. And this friendship is not an abstract concept. It is, as Hofheinz says, something that changes social and economic status. This political reordering is the kind of work Christ's prophetic office is concerned with, and therefore that the church, us as Christ's hands and feet in the world, must be concerned with too. This revelation of Christ as prophet who witnesses to the truth is unveiled in the blessing and the breaking of these barley loaves among friends. More than any other fixture in today's gospel, the barley itself locates us in a time, a place, and a people. To the original hearers of this account, the gathered crowd of Jewish and Gentile Galileans whom we join today as we listen, barley bread was a familiar symbol of life and liberation. Now, borders have shifted through climate, migration, war, and displacement over the years, but Galilee was a part of ancient Palestine in biblical times, and now lies inside modern Israel. In Palestine, wheat and barley were and still staple crops. Since barley is a rotational crop that grows in the off-season, inclement weather and poor soil conditions, it is more affordable and accessible than wheat. Accordingly, barley bread became a signature meal for the laborers of the land, the growers, the bakers, the working class. These essential people are witnesses of the barley bread miracle that we hear today. So while breaking bread symbolizes Jesus' body broken among friends for the life and dignity of all persons, the bread here is not only a metaphor for life. Bread as the body of Christ is life. Breaking bread together signals life and reminds followers of Christ of the humanizing effect of sincere friendship across the table. The making and the eating of bread together signifies material sustenance, survival, and resistance to dehumanizing forms of death. Barley bread here is the bread of liberation and the bread of affliction. It is eaten in the hard times and on the heels of hard times. And we are in hard times. Fires have not ceased in the Holy Land. War rages on. Bodies and lands continue to be occupied and bombarded and destroyed over long-held conflicts about who gets to own and belong to this land. In Palestine, where barley grows natively and is preserved as a religiously and culturally significant seed, bodies continue to be stripped. Land has been burned and community ovens have been bombed. The land of barley runs fresh with the blood and ash of the friends of God. Palestinian-American journalist Amini Ahmed, who is presently writing on the atrocities and the beauties of the Holy Land, shared in her most recent piece, Bread and Salt, the lyrics sung during the preparation and baking of traditional bread in Palestinian ovens called tabuns. It is a song of covenant and of friendship. The lyrics go like this. Sing wildflower, dance bread of the tabun. Fennel and thyme have grown. We have left the December cold. About these lyrics, Palestinian ethnographer and folklorist Tawfiq Kanan recounted, quote, partaking of food means making a covenant. The host as well as the guest may remind each other, there is bread and salt between us. It is a covenant of salt and bread. The expression, there is bread and salt between us, has been used since biblical times, and it is equal to say, a covenant binds us together. So there is bread and salt between us, but it is the salt of tears and the bread of ashes. The covenant of bread and salt has been desecrated with the blood of the innocents. 5 months ago, already 4 months into the genocide in the Holy Land, Ahmed painfully documented the intimate entanglements of bread and life in Gaza. She recounted, quote, so many of the horrors that we have seen and heard from Gaza in recent months are tied to bread. Many fathers, sons, and pregnant widows were bombed in broad daylight, clamoring for a bundle of pita, and thousands of people waited in line for hours in the hopes of getting a few pieces to feed their families. Images of sacks of fresh bread that should be dipped in precious olive oil and za'atar instead were soaked in the blood of someone recently dispossessed of life. Children and babies are starving, and the world watching still has its daily bread. Bread is not a metaphor for life. Bread is life. Jesus becomes the barley loaf broken amid hunger, Jesus' body represented in the barley loaf becomes the bread of affliction and turns it into the bread of life for people who know the horrors of death and hunger. Jesus is doing something intentional in this story. He is setting the table. He asks people to sit down in the grass and invites them to a meal. He gives thanks and in so doing prepares these elements of earth for the Eucharist. Eucharist, which derives from the Greek Eucharistia and from the Hebrew Bercha, both of which mean to give thanks. By giving thanks for these humble things, fruit of the earth, barley, and fruit of the sea, fish, and by blessing them and breaking them, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like this. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first to rest on this land and be satisfied in their hunger. In this meal, we are witnessing to the truth. So what can we do, then, as Christians, to insist on life and repair the broken covenant of bread and salt in our time? Certainly, organizations are streaming direct aid and hunger relief to families in Palestine and Israel, and we can give them our resources, and we should. But monetary relief only goes so far. What if we instead, or additionally, try to feel the pain of the land and the people and their songs as we eat together in our Eucharist, in our homes, in our community? Can we dare to be this intimate? We are, after all, family. Our bloodlines are connected in this tradition of the preparing and the breaking of the bread. So I wonder if we can stay awake to the weeping and the singing and the longing for justice on the lips of war-torn people in a war-torn place, and there are many in our time. I wonder if we can fervently try not to become numb, not to turn away, but again and again to look at Palestinians and Jews in the eyes and say, I see you, I love you, I am sorry for the horrors. Let us break bread together. When we eat together, we remember that we are alive and that Christ lives in us, and that some are no longer alive, and we give thanks for their lives. Even if this story of the barley bread miracle is only a story in our minds, it witnesses to the truth because it speaks to the core reality of what it means to embody Christ in the world. God took on flesh in Jesus as a body who knew and witnessed hunger. So we prophetically gather up the fragments through Christ and the power of the Spirit by working as friends towards freedom, towards the liberation of bodies and lands, of which the meal of barley bread is a symbol and a promise. We are in hard times, and we need to pray for courage, the courage of the saint activists to break bread among friends and to live out our witness to Christ's insistence on life with our bodies. For this is the kingdom of God, to feed and be fed. God is working for justice in love, and we may not see it in our lifetimes, but we must not lose heart. A change is going to come. Amen.